If you're going to be in the Manitowish Waters area of Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, next week along about Thursday, I hope you will join me for a live broadcast. We'll be broadcasting from the Manitowish Waters Community Center Pavilion on this coming Thursday, September 6th. The show is airing statewide, of course, from 11 to 12:30, and it coincides with the annual World Muskie Championship Classics, which will and the program will focus on fishing and lake ecology. And we've got four great guests, among them Joe Booker, one of the famous fishing guides of not only Wisconsin but across the country, is one of our guests, and several other guests as well, to talk with us about fishing and lake ecology. So come join me. It's free, and we'll be at the Manitowish Waters Community Center Pavilion. That's Thursday, September 6th from 11 to 12:30. And there's another guy with me who has some events coming up, too, that we'll get to talk about in a minute or two. And that's Jerry Apps. Jerry's a Madison historian, writer, professor emeritus of the UW-Madison, and has authored more than 40 books, including his latest, which is titled In a Pickle, A Family Farm Story, and it's published by the University of Wisconsin Press. I'm really pleased to have him with us today to talk about his book and to talk about some of the issues that are kind of raised in the book as well as we visit along with him. And certainly if you would like to join in as we visit with him, you're most welcome to do it. You may have read some of his other books. Travels of Increased Joseph was one of a recent book. The People Came First from Cooperative Extension Press, Viewing a Rural Past, and When Chores Were Done, Boyhood Stories, published by Amherst Press. So those are some of them. And we've had fun talking with Jerry about most of those books, and I'm really pleased to have him back today. So as we visit with him and you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Jerry, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry.
I tell you what, I have not finished your book yet, but I've started it, and it'll probably
You don't know the surprise ending.
I don't know the surprise. That's exactly right, which is probably a good thing, because otherwise I might give it away. Jim Packard has read it. He said, boy, this is a great book. And so Jim gives it his five-star rating. And so
well, that's pretty important.
I can't wait to finish it. But your book is set in 1955, isn't it?
1955, indeed, in central Wisconsin. During the era of cucumber patches. I grew up in that area, and we had a cucumber patch at home. We called them pickle patches, and people who are more technical about it say to me, you can't do that. It's not a pickle until it's processed, but we called them pickle patches anyway. And I spent 4 years. The 4 years that I was in college as a manager of a cucumber salting station. And that's the center of this book. The book revolves around the characters and the activities that took place in 1955. I compressed all of my experience into 4 years into one. All of the antics of the employees, and more importantly, there's a much deeper message to the book as well, and that is the beginning of the demise of the small family farm.
Yeah.
And we have seen that play out, of course, throughout the Midwest.
Well, 1955, Secretary of State John Foster Dulles had detailed a new nuclear policy back then, massive retaliation. And we had Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat to a later boarding white man on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Different times.
Walt Disney started Disneyland that year. There were all kinds of interesting things going on. It was a very different time.
And you had Andy Meyer, I believe.
Andy Meyer. Andy Meyer was the farm boy who had spent some time in Korea. That 55 was sort of right after Korea, as you well know. And he had been wounded in Korea, so he limped around a bit. But he was still physically fit enough to help his dad, Isaac Meyer, run their farm. Which was a sandy farm. I call it Ames County. It's really a Washera County. Give that away right off. And they, as all of their neighbors did, he had cucumber patches. You could tell the size of a family in that sandy area of western Washera County. You could tell the size of the family by the size of their pickle patch. If they had an acre, acre and a half, they had a bunch of kids. If they had a quarter of an acre, they probably only had one or two. Why was that? Because the kids did the picking. And cucumber season started in mid-July and went on until Labor Day. And the kids did the picking. Now, on our farm, my folks gave the money that we earned from picking cucumbers to my brothers and me. So that was a great incentive. My gosh, we ordinarily, when you were working out, as we called it in those days, you were lucky to get a buck a day and a noon meal. But here with cucumbers, my gosh, you could get 10 bucks in a day or 12. And so that's where all of the kids in the neighborhood used that money to buy new bib overalls for country school and a Daisy BB gun and a new hunting knife and a new bicycle, even if you had a good growing season.
And you know that it's not like picking corn or harvesting a crop like that, because once you go through and pick the corn's picked. But with cucumbers, that's not the way.
That's absolutely right. In fact, if the season is good, which means it rains ever so often, but not too much, and it's warm, but not too hot, you know how that goes, the cucumbers will bear so that you have to pick them about every 3 days. And it's a miserable job. I mean, it's bending over. The cucumbers don't stand up very tall. They're lucky to be 3-4 inches off the ground. If that, the cucumbers themselves are right on the ground. And once you have picked for an hour or so, your hands turn a grimy green, and they're covered with a coating of dirt from these cucumbers. And we could never afford rubber gloves. If we could have, that would have helped. But throughout the summer, you knew when you went to the free show in Wild Rose on Tuesday night, you knew which kids were picking cucumbers by looking at their hands, because you couldn't get them clean.
Jerry Epps, our guest today, as we talk with him about his latest book, In a Pickle, A Family Farm Story. It's published by the University of Wisconsin Press. Give us a call if you have a question or a comment about the book or about the time. Give at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, you can reach us at 263-1890, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And, of course, in writing, this is a novel, but in writing it, you really are characterizing what went on the farm back in those days.
Exactly. When I write novels, and this is my second one, working on a third one, the historical information is as accurate as I can possibly make it. I do a lot of research to make sure that when I talk about the price of a 1955 Ford car, which I have in the book, I have it accurate. I study old newspapers and ads and all that sort of thing where I get that information. What's fiction about it? The characters. I make up the characters, of course. And even that, my friends around Wild Rose had a call just the other night from Kenny Owens, a kid I went to high school with. He says, "Okay, now, Jerry, fess up. Who are these people exactly?" You know, he said, "I'm trying to figure this out. I've gone down the list of these characters. Now, is this person really this person?" You know, Kenny, what I've done is I've merged together different characters to come up with the ones that I have. Now, you can have a lot of fun trying to figure that out, but and some of them are pretty one-to-one, and I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'll get me into trouble.
Oh, boy. Becky in Columbia County, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, Jerry, and I'm just so happy to talk to you. When I was in college, I had a roommate who said that she raised pickles. And I said, "No, you raise cucumbers and you make pickles out of them." And she just insisted they grew pickles, and I thought I had never heard such a ridiculous thing in my life. Well, after I graduated from UW-Madison, and Jerry, I had you for a class in college, I moved up here to Columbia County, and wouldn't you know, everybody was growing pickles.
how long a time it takes sometimes to get onto the local vernacular.
So I had to stand corrected. Neighbor kids would grow pickle patches, and the Monty family had a local pickle station where everyone would take their pickles in and weigh them. And one of the things that they said some kids would try is to pack the smaller ones on top of the bag so it would look like they had all small ones, which they got paid more for, evidently.
Well, that's true. But as someone who managed the salting station, and we called it a pickle factory, by the way, the first thing we did was to run all of the bags of cucumbers over a sorter. You're indeed correct. The number ones, which are technically called gherkins, I think we paid about $25 a hundred for gherkins. But it took an enormous number of gherkins to make 100 pounds.
That's for sure. Well, I'm off to judge today some pickles at the Calumet County Fair up at Chilton. And so I hope that I'll see some gherkins and maybe some nice dills.
I used to judge fairs a lot, too, so that's great fun.
Thanks. Favorite summer activities. Right. Have a good day.
Thanks, Becky. Thank you very much for calling. Jerry Epps, our guest, author of many books, including the one we're talking about, his most recent novel. It's called In a Pickle, a Family Farm Story, published by the University of Wisconsin Press. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking a bit about life on the farm in Wisconsin during the 1950s, the mid-1950s, today with Jerry Epps. Jerry's written a novel. It's called In a Pickle, a Family Farm Story. And it's, as Jim Packard says, cucumber madness devouring a pickle plant. So we like to kind of like that title and chuckle a little bit about it. If you have a question or a comment, or maybe a remembrance, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. And Jerry, in the book, you also talk about migrant workers and Hispanic migrant workers.
I do, and that's a very interesting Wisconsin story to trace that through. Wisconsin has had migrant workers since the early 1900s, and we still do have a sizable population of migrant workers in the summer. Cucumbers, interestingly enough, of all of the mechanization and technology that's come along, cucumbers have defied all of that. And if you're going to get any kind of yield, you still have to pick them by hand. Because they will not, and the university here has worked very hard at developing varieties that would have as much produce as possible on the vine at one time, but still nowhere's near the yield if you allow it to bear over a six-week period of time. So they have to be picked by hand. And today, I suppose 99% of that picking is done by migrants. In my experience, back in the 50s, our migrants were all U.S. citizens, almost all, who lived in Texas, in Brownsville area especially. And they would come to Door County to pick cherries. And when the cherry crop was over, then they would move into central Wisconsin. And we also, and I don't have any of that in this story, but we also had green beans at that time, and green beans in those days were picked by hand as well. So the migrants in Washera County, Watoma, Wild Rose, Plainfield, those areas had an enormous number of migrants working at that time. One of the interesting questions I get, and it's an appropriate one, the migrants during that time often lived in deplorable situations. Mm. You'd clean out an old shed, and that's where they lived. Although it's not quite as deplorable as you might think, because the farmers themselves at that time, most of them didn't have indoor plumbing yet.
Yeah.
In that part of Wisconsin. So the fact that the migrants had outhouses, the farmers had outhouses too, and many of the farmers had only had electricity for a few years. We didn't get electricity on my farm, a home farm in Washera County, until I think it was 1946 or 1947. So we just had gotten electricity. But still, the conditions were not what they should be. And all of that changed in 1977. Wisconsin passed a law that said housing had to meet certain standards. There were job contracts, minimum wage, all that sort of thing. So that's when the improvement really began
came
to take place.
Yep. Yeah. Don in Wausau, hello to you.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm in central Wisconsin just outside of Stevens Point, and we had a pickle patch. And my three older sisters and I did, as you said, made a little extra spending money picking pickles. And that was miserable, hard, hot work. It was not a lot of fun, but there was a reward for it. And the thing is, as a child, we did all work on the farm. And, of course, all of the chores and all the work on the farm was just expected. You didn't get paid for that. But the pickle patch was, I think it taught some important economic lessons that you were rewarded for a little extra work. And we would save our money to go to the county fairs. We'd go to Marshfield and Wausau Fair. And then, of course, we had money to spend on the rides and food and all sorts of things. So it had its reward, but it was an awful lot of miserable work.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that you make. The little extra money and working a little extra to earn that money. One of the bigger larger points I'm trying to make in this book is what the relatively small family farm was like during that time, and what the farm family was like. The interaction of the kids with their parents. As you correctly points out, the expectation of the kids to help with the chores. Everyone had jobs to do. The idea of having a vacation was absolutely unheard of during those days. I'll never forget my dad. Wild Rose was a tourist town in those days, still is. And so we would see a lot of quote-unquote tourists. How did you spot them? They wore shorts, for God's sake. My dad could not accept anybody wearing shorts or a flowered shirt. He knew, and with short sleeves, he knew immediately they were tourists. And this sounds really strange. I'm sure they looked down their noses at these country hicks who came to town with stained fingers from picking cucumbers. We likewise looked down at them and felt that we knew how to work, we were superior, we had the good life. Isn't that kind of interesting when think back at it?
It really is. Don, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Les and Marinette, your turn. Hi, Les.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have to share this with you. There was a pastor in rural Manitowoc, had seven children, and he was allowed to have a half acre of ground that he could use for more than a garden, and he would plant cucumbers in there, I found out. But when I came there, it was shallow. It was fallow. There was nothing growing there, just quack grass, and I inquired why. And these children had gone out in the early morning and pulled out all of the plants. They never planted cucumbers again.
You know, I would have liked to have done that some years. But had we dared touch a cucumber plant, I mean, our dad showed us how to hold these cucumbers so that you wouldn't touch a vine. Those vines were so special that you didn't come near them with anything.
Thanks, Les, for calling. Al in Milwaukee, your turn now. Hi, Al.
Hi. My experience with cucumbers goes back more than 60 years. First, we had an aunt who owned a farm, but we lived in a part of Milwaukee in the southwest side called Dog Patch, which was a small housing development started in the 1930s but interrupted by World War II. And at that time, just about everybody had a garden, Victory Gardens, in World War II. And talking in the late 40s, if you didn't have a garden, you were something odd. And cucumbers versus pickles, I think I remember seeing these little packets of seeds marketed by the big seed companies. I think I saw some marketed as cucumber seeds and some marketed as pickle seeds. The difference in them is that a pickle is intended for salads. It's a cucumber is intended for salads. It's a rather big, dark green thing with a smooth skin. A pickle, on the other hand, you have to be able to get into a bottle because everybody canned pickles. So it is a smaller thing and usually has a lot of warts over it. And that's the distinction.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, even if you look at the cucumber statistics, there are two categories. Cucumbers for pickling and cucumbers for fresh use. And you're absolutely right. The varieties are substantially different. The pickling varieties are short and stubby. Fresh varieties are long and slender. So that's an interesting distinction. We only grew the pickling kind, and we ate them fresh as well. So yeah, the pickling kind work well fresh, too.
They work well fresh as well. Oh, I love those little gherkins, though. I still like those. Well, listen, you were talking earlier about your research on the book, and I think this is one thing that just an average reader of a book may not realize, but you mentioned the price of a Ford car or something. Well, to get that one figure, that one number, or some other bit of research, just to have a sentence in a book.
That probably take me an hour.
Yeah, take it.
And so I did a lot. I spent an enormous amount of time doing that kind of research. I just love to do it. It's just really fun. I say to myself, gee whiz, I should remember this, but I don't remember exactly what these different prices were. I didn't remember what the films were of the day because I've got my main characters going to a movie, and I don't remember what the movies were. So I looked all that up, and that to me is just great fun. So when you read this book, you without knowing it, and I guess once a teacher, always a teacher, there's an awful lot of history that I'm trying to teach in a way that the reader doesn't realize they're learning it, because it's all in the background. It's all in the setting. It's in understanding what's the context of what's going on that all of this historical stuff is presented. For instance, I had them going to a polka dance at the annual pickle parade, pickle festival in Link Lake, which is my euphemism for my name for what is really Wild Rose, and I've got all of the names of all of the polkas, which I have to remember all those, the two fat polka and all that.
The beer barrel polka.
I've got the first lines of all those polkas in there, right.
Oh, man. Well, and by the way, speaking of speaking and so forth, you have some events coming up. And before I forget about it, I want to make sure that we get those in. And by the way, the official launch is coming up day after tomorrow, right?
Yep. The book officially comes out September 1. But it's for anybody interested in it, it's in all the bookstores.
It's already
checking.
There.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Book World, all of the Book Worlds have it, the Barnes & Nobles, all the independents. I've checked around the state. I travel a lot. And pretty much it's everywhere, so people wouldn't have trouble finding it.
And when are you speaking? You've got September 13th?
Yeah, read the dates off. I don't have them in front of me, Larry.
Yeah, September 13th, you're at the Apple Blossom Books.
Bookstore in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh, yeah. And
there, I'm there from 11:30 to 2 o'clock. That's September 13th, Apple Blossom Books in Oshkosh. Mm-hmm. And September 27th is the official launch, so to speak, at Barnes & Noble West here in Madison at 7 o'clock. And there we're going to have all kinds of fun things. We're going to have a contest to guess the number of pickle slices in a jar. And we do all kinds of foolishness at these things. But I'm going out in each of these events. I give a talk and help people understand a little bit about what was going on in 1955 in the pickle business in Wisconsin. And more importantly, the relationship of the big agribusiness firms to the small family farmers. That's a theme that runs all the way through this book. That's my social commentary, so to speak. That's sort of in the background, but if you read it carefully, it's there, and I want to make that point. Now, I wrap all of this, we haven't talked about this, I wrap all of this in humor. I try to make the thing funny. So as you read along, you'll say, geez, I never imagined anybody being called Quarter Mile. Well, one of my characters' name is Quarter Mile Sweet. Where did you come up with that stupid name? Well, in our community, when I was a kid, a lot of one of our favorite phrases was, well, that guy's almost, is really only about halfway there. So I made this guy only a quarter of the way there.
And that comes out of the book, that's for sure. Oh, man. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, talking with author Jerry Apps about his book, In a Pickle. It's a family farm story. It's published by the University of Wisconsin Press. We're really happy to have him with us. And let's take a call. Wendell in Platteville, we'll go to you now. Wendell, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Jerry, I've got a question. I've always wondered why the sliced pickles are always the crinkled cut, and I knew that you would know.
Why in the world would you think I would know that? No, I think that's just a style that was used to make them more attractive when they sit on a platter. There's just a flat old pickle slice. I sort of like them. But to some people, well, that does not have the pizzazz of one that has a crinkle cut. So I think that's probably the reason for it.
Yep.
Gotcha.
All right.
Thank you.
Larry, let me mention that my website where people can learn a lot more about this book, because I have a lot of reviews and all that sort of stuff there. It's very simple. It's just www.jerryapps, all one word, jerryapps.com. www.jerryapps.com. And there you'll find all kinds of information, including where I'm speaking and background on cucumbers. And I also have, can you believe it, Larry, I have a blog.
Oh, so, you do?
Oh, good golly. Twice a week I enter something on my blog, and currently all of the blogs are about pickles and pickle growing and pickle remembrances and all that kind of stuff. So www.jerryapps.com. Give it a look.
Give it a look. Bob in Jacksonport, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good afternoon, Larry, and good afternoon, Jerry. Jerry, when you were talking about before that you worked at what was called a salter, I believe?
Yeah, a salting station. What that was, we had, I think, 12 or 14 pickle vats, which were ever so much like wood stave silos, except they weren't as tall.
But they, big.
Yeah, they were, I don't know, 20 feet across, some of them. And we would, working in this salting station, what we would do at the end of each day is dump all the cucumbers that we had sorted and purchased, and we bought them right on the spot. We dumped them into these tanks. And following, I worked for Heinz, H.J. Heinz Company, and following Heinz's very carefully drawn recipes, we dumped in so many gallons of water and so many pounds of salt, and then as the manager of the place, I had to keep a record, I think, five or six times a day. I had to write down the salt content of each one of these tanks to make sure that and it's a fermentation process that's going on, to make sure that the salt-water really ratio was correct so that they would properly ferment.
I'll be jiggered. When I and my family, my dad, and moved his family out of Almond, Wisconsin, in 1955, his summer job, he was a teacher at the Almond High School and a coach. He was the manager of the sorting end of the operation.
Yeah, there were...
Where they would dump them in, they would run them through the shakers, and the little guys would come out first, and the great big honkers would go all the way to the other end.
Yeah,
and they would fall into bins, and then they would move them out. So that was the kind of plant that you were describing.
Exactly, except in addition to, we had two big sorters. In addition to the sorters, we had all these tanks where we were salting the cucumbers. And we had an enormous salt bin. Salt came in by the train carload. Can you imagine pitching off with a shovel, a load of salt from a boxcar when it's 90 degrees. I've described that in this book. Miserable job. And we would start work about 8 o'clock in the morning and sort cucumbers until the last gherkin fell in the box, and that was off at midnight.
Well, and I'll tell you, see, I was 3, 4, 5 years old at the time, and I just loved going to work with Dad in the summer. and they liked him there because of the characters that would bring the pickles in. and Dad was about 6'5 and 250. And so nobody messed around with him when he told them where to dump their pickles.
Yeah, the characters, of course, I have so much fun writing about characters, and they were everywhere. And I've got my book just sprinkled full of not only the characters who came with their cucumbers, but also the characters who worked for me, which were just something else.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks a lot. Ann in Osceola, your turn. Hi, Ann.
Hello. I love your program. It brings back a lot of memories to me because I grew up, well, I grew up in New Richmond in the 40s and the 50s, and mm-hmm. my favorite thing in the summer was to go visit my uncle and aunt down in Wautoma. And my uncle was a field man for Heinz and went out in the cucumbers and tomatoes.
What was his name? Do you remember?
Gilbert Sontag.
He was my boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he supervised not only did the field work, but he supervised all the salting stations.
Is that right?
There was one in Wautoma, and we had one. I think it was one in Red Granite. Yeah, he was my boss.
Anyway, the big thrill for me was to go to the factory, and I loved the smell of that brine. And to see those big vats.
It's an acquired smell.
But in our family, we would only eat Heinz pickles and Heinz ketchup. Because my uncle then went on to Iowa to be a field man for the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
This program has just brought back so many memories, and I can still smell that brine.
Well, you're going to have to get a copy of the book, that's for sure.
I will, and I still have my souvenir Heinz pickle pan.
Yeah, isn't that great? I wish I'd kept mine. No, Heinz, whatever you might say about all of the agribusiness firms, Heinz produced a quality product, no question about it. They were on my back every day almost. Everything had to be spotless clean. And when you got all these characters, they're all tired and all the rest of it.
It was really an experience. It was a highlight for my summer anyway, yeah, to go down there and to see all those people, a lot of women working in the factory, weren't there?
Well, we hired whomever we could get. We had women, we had alcoholics, we had high school teachers. We had a cross section of people. We had people who basically hated each other and got into fights. I mean, I have a big fight scene in this book.
It certainly was fascinating, and I can't wait to buy your book.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Scott in Onalaska, hi to you.
Good morning. Or afternoon, sorry.
Hi.
I live in a town where there is an old pickle factory in Onalaska, and they're trying to, I think they're preserving the building, although there's several other businesses in the building. And what an old historic treasure that building is. But when I travel down my road where I live, there's a farm that's down there that says the Pickle Ranch. Now, what am I in for if I knock on the door over there? Is there any clue? Do I walk up there and see if they sell pickles?
I have no idea. At first, I look out for the dog. I don't know. I'm an old county agent. Whenever somebody said, where are you supposed to go? I'd say, what kind of a dog do they have? I have no idea what that is.
Oh, thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling. Jerry Apps, our guest today. It's always a fun to have him with us. We have a great time, and he's got a fun book here. It's called In a Pickle, A Family Farm Story, and it's published by Badger Books. And
no, it's published by UW Press.
I'm sorry, UW Press. Other books you've had have been published by Badger, but this is by the University of Wisconsin Press. And I hope you'll take a look at his website. Just go to www.jerryapps.com. Jerryapps.com. And again, your two places that you'll be
seeing.
Yes,
I will be in Oshkosh on September 13th at Apple Blossom Books from 11:30 to 2 p.m. And on September 27th at Barnes & Noble Madison West at 7 p.m.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jerry, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Jerry Apps, Madison historian, writer, and professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The book, In a Pickle, A Family Farm Story. And thank you very much for listening. A lot of fun today. And lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.